Step 11. Mary Shelley. We now face the Teatro Sociale, the city theatre that for over two centuries has hosted artists of national and international renown. The person that we are interested in, however, is not an artist, but a woman who entered that door as a spectator on the 15th of August 1840 to see Donizetti's Lucia of Lammermoor. Close your eyes for a moment and imagine a gloomy atmosphere. The theatre in front of you is wrapped in thick fog and darkness looms. We are going to tell you the story of the writer of the Gothic novel par excellence, Mary Shelley. Mary Wollstonecraft Godwin, known as Mary Shelley, was born in London in 1797, the daughter of feminist philosopher Mary Wollstonecraft, who died shortly after her birth, and political and anarcho-communist philosopher William Godwin. Mary grew up marked by the death of her mother, while her father took care of her education by introducing her in an intellectual environment. In 1814, the young woman fell in love with poet Percy Bysshe Shelley, a married man, with whom she decided to elope and cross Europe, together with her stepsister Claire Claremont. After running out of money, they returned to England, where Mary gave birth to their first daughter, who would die a few days later, and endured social marginalisation because of her disgraceful relationship. In 1816, she married Percy, who had lost his wife to suicide, and the two writers spent the summer on Lake Geneva with poet Lord Byron, with whom Claire had a love affair, and Dr. John Polidori. That cursed summer, as Mary defined it, was marked by rainy days, and to pass the time, Byron suggested they write horror stories. It is in those months, when she was only 19, that Mary's imagination created Frankenstein, or the modern Prometheus. The writer gave birth to one of the most famous creatures of all literature, in which she also poured much of herself, from the fatigue of childbirth to the huge emptiness left by the bereavements she had had to endure in childhood, to the illness that as a child forced her to keep her arm in a sling because it was swollen and disfigured. In 1818, after the anonymous publication of the first edition of Frankenstein, Mary Shelley returned to Italy. Her visit to Lake Como in April was a moment of utmost bliss to her, one of the best. Some years later, her two children would die and she would fall into a deep depression, soothed only by the birth of her third child, Percy Florence. From a literary point of view, these are very productive years, but the sudden death of Percy Shelley in 1822, during a sea crossing, forced Mary to take care of the revision of the editions of his poetry, in order to support her son. From 1840 to 1843, Mary travelled across Europe with her son, and from those journeys came the work Rambles in Germany and Italy. They reached Lake Como in 1840, after passing Chiavenna and Colico, and got to Cadenabbia, where they stayed for 2 months until the end of August, visiting some of the most famous villas in the area. On the 15th of August, Mary travelled to Como by ferry and visited Teatro Sociale. She spent the last few years of her life suffering because of an illness, probably a brain tumour, that led her to her death in 1851, at the age of only 54 years old. A few months before her death, in May 1850, she visited Lake Como for the last time, as is testified by a letter written from Cadenabbia. Mary and Percy Shelley were influenced in their perception of Lake Como by some authors that came before them, whom we meet along the Lake Como poetry way. They didn't come here by chance, but thanks to the works of Pliny the Elder and Pliny the Younger, that the couple had a chance to study during the cursed summer of 1816 in Geneva. Among the inspirers of the cultural background of Frankenstein, there's also another man from Como, Alessandro Volta, the inventor of the battery. In the first chapter of Frankenstein, the eponymous doctor is struck by the studies on electricity to the point of rejecting the works of past naturalists, except for Pliny and Buffon, authors in my estimation of nearly equal interest and utility. In 1831, Mary published a new edition of Frankenstein, in which she changed the story of Elizabeth, the scientist's stepsister and wife, making her the daughter of an Italian patriot imprisoned by the Austrians, who was adopted during a holiday in Como. If Frankenstein is considered the first Gothic horror novel, in another book called The Last Man, with which Mary inaugurates the successful apocalyptic genre, the protagonists spend their last happy days on Lake Como, specifically at Villa Plignana in Torno, that in 1818 the Shelleys tried in vain to rent, and where, also to no avail, they invited Lord Byron to spend another summer with them. Mary Shelley was so fascinated by Lake Como that she decided to modify her most famous novel too. In the third edition of Frankenstein, Lake Como appears as a beautiful and romantic place. Dr. Frankenstein marries his foster sister, who was born in Como, and they were supposed to spend their honeymoon here. Her love for Lake Como, the death of her mother after her birth, and the social and political themes with which she was raised are elements that characterize her works and make her one of the most charming characters that we find on our way. We shall finish with the lines that the English writer dedicated to her contemporary singer Judith Tapasta, who lived and is now buried in the lakeside village of Blevio, while she was going to see the opera at Teatro Sociale in Como. Madame Pasta has a villa on the lake, some miles distant from Como. She has an excessive fear of the water and never goes to Como by the steamer. Unluckily, there is no road on her side of the lake, and she has a house on the opposite shore in which to remain if the weather is stormy, to wait for the smoothing of the waters. Methinks the elements are rude indeed not to obey her voice. Never did any so move, so penetrate the human heart. In Giulietta, in Medea, and above all, in the melting and pathetic tenderness of the opening air of the Nina Pazza per Amore of the divine Paisiello, she has in truth taken from the heart its last touch of hardness, and melted it into sweetest tears. Pasta and Paganini alone have had this power over me, but yet different in its kind.